Do either the Phillies or the Dodgers go home tonight? We'll break it down next. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Wednesday, October 9th. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. You can follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Troy Brock. You can follow him on Twitter at Troy B. Brock. And Troy, short schedule yesterday. We only had National League games, but two really interesting matchups. I want to start off with your Philadelphia Phillies. I know your reaction is probably, we don't have to, but Phillies lose to the Mets 7-2, and Aaron Nola gets out-dueled by Sean Manea. What's the mood among Phillies fans going into an elimination game on Wednesday?
Yeah, it's not great. After last night's game, I was scrolling through Twitter, and obviously I see a lot of Phillies fans' tweets, and a lot of people are just not happy with how the offense has performed, and they want the offense to step up. They're kind of just, at this point, they're wanting Kevin Long, the hitting coach, gone. There's people starting to come around that Rob Thompson is not the best manager, and, you know, people are just – they want the offense to perform, that, and they don't like the approach the offense took last night. They were most everybody through the lineup was swinging at the first pitch or swinging at pitches outside of the zone, chasing everything. There was no plate discipline to speak of last night. Manea had two walks and two hit by pitches, and he should have had much more, but the approach was just atrocious in last night's game. And it's just it's not good in Philadelphia. A lot of people are also wanting Zach Wheeler to start tonight, even on 3 days rest after throwing 111 pitches in game one. I'm one of them. Let him go one time through the lineup. But it's just it's not a good time for Philadelphia fans right now.
Yeah, this is, you know, Sean Manea does kind of more than we expected. Seven innings pitched, three hits, two walks, one earned run, six strikeouts, and like you said, Phillies hitters were very aggressive early in the counts. They did a lot of unique pregame work to get ready for him. Manea's known for a sidearm lefty delivery. He features a sweeper pretty heavily, and he's kind of almost famous now for his warmups, where he will be on the left mound of the bullpen, throwing to a catcher on the right side of the bullpen for his warmups, just to try to get the right movement on the sweeper and things like that. And the broadcast actually showed Philly during BP, Philly moved the hitting machine far to the left of the L screen. And it was trying to mimic what Sean Manea does. Obviously the hitters felt good about what they were facing, about what they were going to be facing. They thought they were comfortable with the look, but we just didn't see the production come out of that. Kyle Schwarber, 0-for-2, does walk twice, scores a run. Everybody else, the best they could do was one hit. You saw Nick Castellanos go 1-for-4. You saw Trey Turner go 1-for-3 with a walk. Alec Bohm goes 1-for-4. Bryson Stott, again, does not start, comes off the bench as a pinch hitter for Austin Hayes, goes 0-for-1. Edmundo Sosa, who does get the start, goes 1-for-2, scores a run. But every single one of these hits were singles. Philly ends up going 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position, leaves 6 on base. Am I wrong for saying that outside of the one win in the series that they have, Philly's offense has not been that good? And it kind of lends a little bit of credence to the belief of maybe having a 5 days off legitimately does hurt you at the plate when you go into the postseason.
I could see it. Yeah. Like you said, the offense as a whole has just not been good. They've had 4 good innings in this series, and the other 23 innings for the offense have not been good at all. And then Alec Bohm's single, that was a double in the gap. And Tyrone Taylor, the Mets center fielder, he played it nicely, and he put a throw on target to Francisco Lindor to gun down Alec Bohm going to second, who had an easy double. But he didn't seem to be running well last night at all. He on an infield hit, He looked running up the line. It didn't look like he was running at full speed. So maybe he's hurt, and maybe that was the problem. Maybe that was why he got sat for game two and then came in later because he was starting to feel better. We don't know because they won't say. But, yeah, the offense as a whole has just not been good throughout this series.
Am I wrong for saying that the top four of this Phillies lineup needs to do more? Because when you look at Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Castellanos, like, they have 13 hits. The team only has 20 as a team. They have 13 of them. They've each scored two runs. But of those hits, like, three homers, two doubles, the rest have been singles. Turner's not driven anybody in. Both Castellanos and Harper have three RBI. Schwarber has one. Am I wrong for saying that they need to do more? Or is this something where you had one of the best records in the National League, the rest of this offense needs to be able to hold their weight? JT Realmuto can't be 0 for 9, you know, offensively in the series. Edmundo Sosa is 1 for 4. Bryson Stott is 2 for 8. Like, is it the top of the order needs to do more, or is it the rest of the offense has to at least carry their weight?
I think it could be a little bit of both. I think that with the top of the order, you got to have a little more timely hitting. Yes, Castellanos had a walk-off the other night, but other than that, the hitting with runners in scoring position, when runners have rarely been in scoring position this series, has not been great. But the bottom of the order, they have not put up good plate appearances. It's not been competitive at all. And they'll like last night, they'll swing at the first pitch or they'll chase stuff that's nowhere near the zone. And they have to go to the plate with a better approach than that. Swinging at the first pitch, you should not swing. In my opinion, you should not swing at the first pitch unless it is right down the middle. Yeah. Other or unless your name is Shohei Ohtani, because the first pitch, I mean, you gotta see what the guy's throwing, and you gotta make the pitcher throw more pitches. In the first inning last night, Schwarber, Turner, and Harper, they saw 16 pitches from Sean Manaea. All three of them wound up putting balls in play. All three balls in play were hit 106.x miles per hour. After that, he went six more innings, and I think he still ended the game with less than 90 pitches through seven innings pitched. So it was just the first inning, the approach was great. From the second inning on, it just went downhill.
Is it fair to look at some of the pitching and say that the pitching has not been as good as you needed it to be? And now the starters, Zach Wheeler, you can't ask for anything more than what he did, right? Christopher Sanchez gives you two runs across five innings. But Aaron Nola not being like loading the bases in the sixth and being lifted without recording an out. And then some of these bullpen performances, you ask Tanner Banks to come in for an inning, he gives up a run. Jeff Hoffman has given up three runs and gotten one out. Jose Alvarado, two runs and two outs. Is this something where it's still ultimately the fault of the offense, or has the pitching staff finally kind of taken a step back after what felt like a really good regular season where they were one of the better pitching staffs in baseball?
The pitching staff has definitely taken a step back. I think that a lot of the bullpen was playing well above their head, especially Jose Alvarado. Since the All-Star break, anytime Jose Alvarado has come into a game, especially if my wife's sitting next to me, I'll look at her and be like, well, we're punting this game. Even with a lead, when Jose Alvarado has come in, it's no lead is safe with Jose Alvarado. And yes, he came in with the Mets up last night and helped them come score more runs. But it's just, he can throw 100 miles per hour, and that's cool if he knows where it's going. But he doesn't know where it's going ever. But other than him, Hoffman, I think Hoffman's hurt. I think he's still dealing with that neck soreness, and I think that's been a big issue for him through this series. Nola, I think he just got left in an inning too long, which has been an issue with Rob Thompson just leaving guys in too long. And I know Nola is a workhorse, and you expect him to go six innings, but he's got 200 innings plus this season already, not including the spring training, however many innings he threw in spring training. So I think after five, he should have left.
Yeah, it feels like in the postseason, you still see this where too many managers are too willing to manage it like it's a regular season game and they're thinking we've got to get this length out of our starter, when it feels like almost the right approach to take in the postseason is get me through the order twice and then we will go to the pen. Because like in this situation, you've got one more game and then you've got a day off, a travel, you know, and so you don't have to run a guy, you know, like you did with Wheeler, 111 pitches. I think that was okay. He was cruising, but in like Nola did not look great to me. He looked good enough, but did not look great. That should have been something where it's like, you get us through twice. That's cool. We'll go to the bullpen. We'll do it from there. On your note about Jose Alvarado, pitched in 41 games in the first half, 13 saves, 39 innings, only walked 16, struck out 40. In the second half, pitched in only 25 games, finished the game only once, so only got a ninth inning one time, only 22 and two-thirds innings, walked 12, so almost as many walks in the second half as the first, despite 17 less innings, struck out only 23. Allowed a batting average of .221 in the first half and an OPS of .723, more than 120 points higher than in the first half of the year. So definitely some issues there. And if you guys want more about Philly and how they're doing every single day, Troy has the Philly Faithful Pod, PPP, Faithful with a P. You can go get it on YouTube, wherever you find your podcasts. I did an instant reaction show last night. He's doing these pods after every single game, talking about what happened, breaking it all down. Definitely go check out Troy. We're going to get to their matchup today a little bit later in the show. I do want to move over, though, if we can, to Padres-Dodgers, because this is another series that is now potentially an elimination game tonight. The Padres have a big second inning. They score six runs off of Walker Buehler. He goes five innings with those six runs, seven hits, one walk, no strikeouts for Walker Buehler. The flip side, Michael King does not have a great outing. He dominated Atlanta last week in the wild card round. He gives up a homer to Mookie Betts in the first, one that he thought was robbed. Turns out it wasn't. He had to go back to running. He had routed first and he started curling into the dugout. He thought it was robbed. And he had to go back and finish the thing. But the Dodgers tag him for four more runs in the third inning. So it becomes a bullpen battle. Both those guys only go five. And the bullpens hold them. These bullpens combine over the last four innings of the game for one hit allowed, no walks, and 10 strikeouts.
Wow.
Is this something where have the injuries finally caught up to LA? Because you look at this game, Freddie Freeman playing hurt at first base, goes 1-for-4, isn't moving pretty well, gets pinch hit for or pinch run for later in the game when he finally gets that hit. Miguel Rojas playing through the adductor has to come out of this game, which means Tommy Edman has to move from center to short. Andy Pajes has to come in for center. And then obviously the fact you're starting Walker Buehler in a postseason game because you have so many other injuries. Have the injuries just become too much for LA to overcome?
Yeah, I think so. And really they're doing what they have to do. If they had better options than what they do have on the bench, then they probably would not have been starting Freddie Freeman or Miguel Rojas for that matter. Yeah. But they, with their lack of depth as a whole, they have to start those guys because their hitting production just takes a massive drop off if you don't have those guys in the lineup, especially with Mookie Betts, what he's done in the postseason the past 3 years. I looked it up. He's got an OPS below 700 with the Dodgers in the postseason. But the injuries as a whole, their pitching depth has just cratered because of the injuries, and Walker Buehler is not the same guy, but they have no other options because of the injuries.
Yeah. They're essentially completely out of options. And they have more than a full rotation on the IL. Obviously Clayton Kershaw is not going to come back. They've already said that. Tyler Glasnow is not going to come back this year. Just so many guys that are injured that are out. And it feels like they're having to run with the sixth, the seventh, the eighth options, and it's not working out here. And when, like, that's, I think that's the frustrating and ultimately going to be the story of this Dodgers team, is it feels like they've been able to do the things they need to do to win. They just haven't been able to have enough health to be in those positions. Like last night, they go 2-for-3 with runners in scoring position. They only leave two guys on base. They only got 7 men on base all game because they only got 6 hits. And again, only 1 hit after the 5th inning, only 1 walk versus 9 strikeouts. Like, they hit 2 home runs. Teoscar Hernandez took Michael King deep to go along with Mookie Betts. Teoscar's was in the 3rd, not the 1st, but like they're able to do what they need to do. It's just not, they're not getting enough opportunities to do those things. And it feels like the injuries are the biggest part of it. There's been a couple disappointing performances, guys who kind of disappeared. Will Smith was 0-for-4 in this game with a strikeout. He doesn't have a hit in the postseason. Max Muncy was 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. I think he has 1 hit in the postseason. Miguel Rojas, he did go 1-for-1, but he hasn't really done a lot this postseason either. And this is a situation where, one, wild to me that you spend $1.4 billion in free agency and you don't have a shortstop. Like, you had to move Mookie there, and then you had to scramble and trade for some guys midseason to fill that hole. Yep. But it feels like this team, I would argue, is in more trouble maybe so than the Phillies. And let's go ahead and do that. Both of these teams do play today. Both of these teams are eliminated with a loss. Who are you, understanding that you're a Phillies fan, covering the team there, who are you more concerned about? Are you concerned about LA? Are you concerned about Philly being done after tonight?
I'm more concerned about LA. They haven't even announced who their pitcher is going to be yet, and they're facing Dylan Cease, one of the better pitchers in the sport and one of the Padres' best pitchers. Yes, he didn't have the best first outing of the postseason, but it's Dylan Cease. He can turn that around at the drop of a hat, whereas the Phillies are turning to Ranger Suarez, who did not have the greatest season in the regular season, especially down the stretch. But in the postseason, the past 3 years, he has been one of the best pitchers in the history of baseball. He's got an ERA sub-2 in the postseason, a small sample size, 4 starts, 4 games. But he's much better than TBD for the Dodgers.
Yeah, and kind of pulling some of this up from late night last night, there's reporting that that LA is going to throw a bullpen game in this one. So you're going to see 6 or 7 different arms go for the Dodgers. And I think that's because, like, potential starters unavailable due to injuries. Glasnow, we mentioned Kershaw, Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May, Gavin Stone. Like, they have a whole rotation on the IL. It feels like this isn't the year for LA. I think I agree with you. I think I'm more concerned about LA than Philly. You know, Philly is, like, you have Robert Suarez going tonight against Jose Quintana. I feel like you have more of a chance there, both with who the opposing starter is and who your starter is, versus a bullpen game to not be eliminated and go home. I do still think the Mets have a decent chance tonight, but I wouldn't rule the Phillies out. It does feel like tonight, unless the Dodgers lineup can just absolutely rake against Dylan Cease, which again, like you said, they did that last time they faced him, but unless they can do that, it feels like tonight's the final game for the Dodgers. And I do want to kind of point out again how San Diego played this really well with not using Dylan Cease in game 1 of the wild card against Atlanta, like so many other teams threw their guys. Tarik Skubal pitched game 1 for the Tigers. Corbin Burns pitched game 1 for the Orioles. Framber Valdez pitched game 1 for the Astros. Luis Severino pitched game 1, I believe, for the Mets. Mm-hmm. Dylan Cease was held by San Diego because they correctly thought that because of Atlanta having to play those 2 games on Monday, the travel, using the bullpen and everything, that they could get away with holding Dylan Cease for a possible game 3. And if they didn't need to use him, having him twice, even though this is on short rest, having him twice in the wild card round would be an option for them. And it turns out they were right. So I don't know whether that's more credit goes to the Padres for that decision, or more credit goes to, or I guess more blame goes on MLB for not proactively moving that Braves-Mets series up in that week before the hurricane hit versus letting it be postponed to a doubleheader on Monday.
Yeah, yeah. I do think that MLB should have forced the move of the schedule up some to alleviate that situation, but I do also praise San Diego for, you know, working with what they've got.
Yeah, I mean, having the confidence.
Yeah, and they saw the situation at hand, and they did the best thing. And honestly, as you were saying that, I've thought about this, that layover between Cease's last start in the regular season and game one of the NLDS may have been the reason why he was rusty and may have been the cause of him getting shelled in that game one. He went 3 1/3, giving up, what was it, five runs?
Five runs, I believe, yeah.
And so he may come out tonight and be the same Dylan Cease that everybody knows and has seen for years since his time with the White Sox.
Yeah, and this will be a really fun matchup. And to kind of the whole schedule for tonight, obviously all four teams play. Cleveland at Detroit, that series is tied 1-1. They play at 3:08. Alex Cobb goes for Cleveland. TBD for Detroit, most likely a bullpen game. That's what they do. Do you think we can gather anything from the starting pitching matchup? Or is this just one of those pitching chaos? You can't predict it. It's all going to come down to the offenses and Cleveland versus Detroit.
Yeah, I think this one is on the offenses. And with it being strictly on the offenses, you got to give the nod to Cleveland on this one just because they have the better lineup. I think the Tigers bullpen will perform better than they did in game one. I don't think it'll be a 7-0 rout like it was in game one. But I still, with it being strictly based on the offenses, I think Cleveland has the slight upper hand in this one.
See, I think I'm going to go with Detroit in this one simply because the vibes, right? This is a home game for them. It's the first home playoff game they've had in a long time. This is a team that's hungry. They put up an egg in game one. Since then, they've been much better. They've been getting the clutch hits. They've been doing everything they had to do. And momentum isn't something we can quantify in baseball, but I think Cary Carpenter's home run, game-winning home run off of Emmanuel Clase, is one of those plays, one of those things that can absolutely fire up a roster, fire up an offense, and give guys faith that, like, hey, if we can win the game in the ninth off of the best closer in baseball, we can win any game at any time. And so I think I'm going to take Detroit in game one. We're curious to see what happens. Again, that is 3:08 p.m. Eastern on TBS, so check that out. After that, you've got Phillies-Mets at 5:08 on FS1. We've already kind of talked about this one, but Robert Suarez versus Jose Quintana. Yankees versus Royals in Kansas City, in Kauffman Stadium. Again, first home playoff game in Kansas City in a decade. 7:08 p.m. on TBS. That is Clark Schmidt versus Seth Lugo. This feels like Kansas City has the advantage in this one as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Big thing where Kansas City does have the advantage is Bobby Witt Jr. He has not been hitting in the postseason so far, but every game he's played this postseason has been on the road. And in the regular season, he had like a 250-point OPS difference between home and road. Mm-hmm. And so now being back at Kauffman, we might see Bobby Witt Jr. do what he did in the regular season at Kauffman Stadium. Plus, Kauffman Stadium is not a good stadium to hit home runs in, and that is what the Yankees do best, is hit home runs. So
yeah, it's definitely not a power park. The Yankees don't have a ton of team speed. Like, yes, Jazz Chisholm can run. Yes, Anthony Volpe can run. But as a whole, this is not a very fast lineup. They thrive on hitting for power, and like you said, it's just harder to do that in Kansas City. Whereas this Kansas City squad does have faster guys. They are better base runners. They're better base dealers. I trust them more to be able to put a ball in a gap and run for extra bases than I do half the Yankees lineup, right? Whether it's Austin Wells, Giancarlo Stanton is, you know, incredibly slow for a DH virtually at this point. Juan Soto is a good base runner, but not one of the fastest in the world. Yep. And so, yeah, like it feels like, in a lot of different respects, this game kind of feels like it should be tilted Kansas City's way. It's just a, can you contain Aaron Judge? Can you contain Juan Soto? And if you can do that, which Seth Lugo is one of those dudes that throws a ton of tons of pitches, has done pretty good at avoiding home runs, it feels like this season, you have a chance to do that. I think I'm taking Kansas City in this one and to take a 2-1 lead in the series, which is wild and not a place I thought I would be entering the weekend as they were getting ready to square off. I thought it'd be 2-0 as it headed back to Kansas City.
Yeah, I know. I'm right there with you. But Kansas City has really just surprised the world and just done what nobody thought they could and taken it to the New York Yankees and stuck with them blow for blow. And like, I'm right there with you. I think Kansas City takes this game tonight to take a 2-1 lead.
I think the biggest thing, and you touched on it there, was Bobby Witt Jr. has not been going yet. They've been doing all of this without Bobby Witt Jr. They've been doing this with 40-year-old Yuli Gurriel, with 36-year-old Tommy Pham, with a 85% Vinny Pasquantino who came back early from injury. Like, they've been getting it done despite Bobby Witt's offense. And he plays much better at home, like you pointed out. It feels like this is the game where he kind of, I'm not going to say announces his postseason presence, but he kind of joins the rest of the team in the postseason from an offensive perspective and really goes off in this one. So you feel good there. And then tonight, Dodgers at San Diego, we've kind of already covered this game. It's a bullpen game versus Dylan Cease. I think we're both on the line of San Diego wins this game and the Dodgers are eliminated after tonight, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you also. It would not surprise me if the Mets do win that game, but out of the two NL teams, I think the Dodgers are the one that's most likely to be eliminated tonight.
Yeah, and in which case you would already have one team waiting for the other for the NLCS, because all the National League teams are off on Thursday. The divisional, the AL will play again, Cleveland at Detroit again. There's no starters listed for either team there. Yankees at Royals on Thursday. Gerrit Cole versus Michael Wacha. The Kansas City would love to be in the lead and make Gerrit Cole pitch in an elimination game. But either way, I also think you could see this series tied at two after Thursday as you head into, as it would shift back to New York for Saturday. So we'll see what happens there. Troy, where can folks go to get more of your Phillies content and follow you and just give you some love?
Yeah, you can follow me personally on Twitter at Troy B Baseball, and then for the Phillies pod, it's Philly Faithful Pod. You can find that on Spotify or iTunes or YouTube, and then you can also follow the show on Twitter at Philly Faith Pod. Faith is spelled with a PH, just like Philly.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. If you're listening on audio, do us a favor, leave us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you know when we drop tomorrow's episode. And as always, tell your friends that if they miss anything that happened in baseball yesterday, they can go on and there's a great place where they can go to do that. Until tomorrow, this has been First Pitch.